B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Guidelines released yesterday to governors across the country and to all of us. The Opening Up America Again guidelines were put out, and it's three phases, and I would say that it offers a path forward, but testing is my takeaway from yesterday. We need more testing. We need more testing for everything to happen to do it. But it involves everything, restaurants, even sports, even how we get back to doing everything is in the plan yesterday. And do you feel any closer to sports now that this plan is out there is my question.
I mean, I think every day we wake up, right, maybe things are going to turn on the news, things are going to sound better, feel better. But I don't know. I mean, the fact they're talking about it, though, and you know, at some point, we need to have this slow opening for sports to even exist. And if it does, sooner than later, and we show that there's not this massive spike in new cases, then maybe we're going to open it even more. Maybe a little bit. Not much, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a step in the right direction. At least they're talking about it. And even if it doesn't happen right away and it's a very slow rollout in certain places, I'm not saying it makes you feel better overall, because you may have, strong disagreement with opening things up. Then you think it's too early. You think that just because things may have plateaued, it's not the right time. But if your only concern is getting sports back, yes, on its surface, this would seem to be positive.
Unless it's not my only concern. It's like my last concern, but it's because what we talk about is sports. That's why I phrase it that way.
Well, yeah, I mean, and when I say you, I mean just, you know, people in general, if that's what you as a person are interested in. Unless, of course, opening things up causes things to spike back up again, and it turns out, oh, no, we hadn't really reached the peak because we started to open up a little too early, and then a new peak is established, and what it does is it prolongs things as opposed to, you know, had you done nothing in terms of opening, it would have actually meant a sooner return for sports and everything else. But again, they're making this up as they go.
Yeah.
They don't know. And the only timeline that matters is the timeline of the virus. So you can put out every three-phase plan you want, but it's all going to be determined by this thing that operates on its own timeline.
Right, and doesn't care about politics or whose side and who's, arguing for what.
Right.
That's why there's no timeline on when phase one begins. There is no start date on this. And in phase one, whenever phase one does arrive, sports venues can reopen under strict physical distancing protocols. I don't know how many people that would allow to be in the building. Or I don't know if that means that the venues can open just because, you know, open in the sense that, okay, you're allowed to open the building and have people working there and playing there, but not the public coming in. But I know that movie theaters were also included in that as being part of the strict physical distancing guidelines. So if you can be in a movie theater, I would assume you could be in a sporting venue.
Yeah, you
again,
would think so.
With particular guidelines being in place, that would be a part of the requirement that, according to, again, this plan, which is named Opening Up America Again.
That's a good name. That's a really good name. Because you're thinking, hey, you know, okay, wow, look at this thing. What is this? They're opening up America again. Look, everything's open. Okay, so there's no date on it. What do you think, estimate, what do you think the opening date would be? Like, I would guess mid-May. Like, if they're going to target something, I'm going to say somewhere around the middle of May. What do you think, Hardy? Like, what, if you had to put a date on it, Hardy, which what would you put?
For phase one?
Yeah, for phase one. For them to get to the podium, okay, here's what's going to happen. In 5 days, we're going to open. And we're going to do this.
Well, and again, what does open mean? I think there are some places that are, there are a lot of places that are, quote unquote, open right now. You know, it's
I'm saying like the big, business, General Motors or, construction. We're going to start building again.
And again, Zoe, this, and I'm not being argumentative. I understand the question, but the question is just wrought with all these inconsistencies. We were talking before the show today how construction continues in some major cities in America. They're not stopping construction on the stadium in Las Vegas for the Raiders. No, that's still going. While the rest of the town is shut down, there are still elements of business and everyday life that have continued. So if there is some kind of pronouncement that now we're into phase one, it's still going to be left up to governors and some local municipalities as to whether or not they decide to accept this as an opening. So you can make whatever plan you want. You can issue whatever kind of advisory you want. Not everyone is going to follow. Not everyone has followed them so far in terms of closures, and not everyone is going to follow them in terms of opening. So you want me to, pick a date? Sure, mid-May. A lot more things will be open than they are now.
But you know they got a date. You know they got a date in their mind, but they still have to see the results. Go ahead.
But I don't think the date, whatever date that is going to be, applied to all 50 states at the same time.
Of course not, because the governors are going to have say and mayors are going to have say.
I mean, according to the president, he's basically leaving it up to these governors on how this is going to now go. I mean, which has been sort of a turn from a couple of days ago, but I don't know how you could say that New York and New Jersey and Massachusetts are going to be on the same timeline as, Florida
Oklahoma
or Arizona. Let's just use those because those are the two that baseball is proposed going to. Like, they're just not going to be on the same timeline. And because of obviously number of cases impacting that, but also just sort of the thought process, I think, is going to be different in different places. So that's why I think that those plans that baseball has drawn up are probably pretty important to their future this season in terms of where they're going to go and what they're going to do and how they're going to get their games played. There's also something this morning, Hardy, that you had caught your attention today, coronavirus related.
I don't know the exact background.
You get to it.
Yeah, there was this thing from Dr. Oz yesterday, and I think he was on Fox News. It may have been yesterday or the yesterday morning, and he was on a program. He was on with Sean Hannity, and the quote in the audio, and we can listen to it. But I've heard it replayed now. I've seen it reposted with, at best misinterpretations of what he said, and at worst completely changing what he said, and it's not helpful. It's causing a lot of anger and a lot of panic, and I think it would probably serve us well to take 2 minutes and kind of set the record straight on this.
Yeah.
Jim, you've got the audio of what he actually said?
Well, first, we need our mojo back. Let's start with things that are really critical to the nation where we think we might be able to open without getting into a lot of trouble. I tell you, schools are a very appetizing opportunity. I just saw a nice piece in The Lancet arguing that the opening of schools may only cost us 2-3% in terms of total mortality. And, that's any life is a life lost. But to get every child back into a school where they're safely being educated, being fed, and making the most out of their lives with a theoretical risk in the backside, it might be a trade-off some folks would consider.
Okay. Huh.
I bet the choice of words didn't help him here, Hardy. I hadn't heard this.
No,
what, appetizing? The mortality rate?
Appetizing?
Yeah. We'll keep it down.
Okay, so you just said it, though, Zoe. I'm not
that
blaming you. I'm not
me.
Yelling at you, right?
Yeah.
You said mortality rate. No, that's not what he just said. He said, and we don't have to listen to it again. I've got the transcript. He said the piece in The Lancet, which is a medical journal, I'm assuming, I don't read them, but he said arguing the opening of schools may only cost us 2-3% in terms of total mortality. Now, people took this, someone, Joshua Potash. I don't know who this kid is on this guy is on Twitter, but this got a ton of play. He said, this is his quote, and this guy has got a ton of followers too. He said, Dr. Oz just made the argument that we should reopen schools because only 2 to 3% of kids will die. And then I heard this fact, quote unquote fact, repeated on different radio shows and different people. And A, that's not what he said. B, that's not what it means. But people are running with this, and you're getting all these people getting all upset. And look, Dr. Oz has said some really, really questionable things during this whole thing, and he is far from anyone that we should all be listening to or paying attention to.
Yeah, but so in is this Dr. case, Drew, too. Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, right, exactly. All these guys. You know, you could very well be a total jackass. But in this particular instant, what he said was 2 to 3% of the total mortality. Okay? So to explain this, and what the article actually says is that recent modeling studies predict that school closures alone would only prevent between 2 to 4% of deaths, much less than other social distancing interventions. So what he's saying is, if the total mortality number, and that's what he said, not a mortality rate, not 2 to 3% of kids in school, total mortality. So if we reach 100,000 deaths in the United States due to coronavirus, and you open up the schools, that might cost us an additional 2 to 3,000 deaths nationwide across all ages, all groups, everything. Grandparents, nursing homes, communities without schools, period. Not if you have a school with 100 kids in it, 2 to 3 of them will die. No, no, no. And it seems silly when you lay it out and understand the numbers, but I've heard it so many times and I've seen it online so many times. Stop it with this nonsense. That is not at all what he said. That's not at all what the study said. They're talking about, and he's right in that any life is a life lost, unacceptable. And you may not be willing to risk any more lives lost at any point until this thing has a vaccine, in which case you keep everything closed for another year, year and a half, whatever it takes. God. But when you start to weigh the options here, there's a big difference between 2 to 3% of kids going to school dying, which is not happening. That's not the case. And a 2 to 3% increase of total mortality across the entire country. That's what he said, not what everyone else is running with and calling him an idiot. Yeah, he may very well be an idiot, but these aren't his numbers. He was quoting a study. Give credit to the study and take 30 seconds to find out what the hell you're talking about before you go off and lose your mind and talk about, can't believe he would say this. He didn't say it. You just did. What he said, you didn't hear.
To play the other side of this, can you give Dr. Oz another 30 seconds to explain that? Like, don't you sort of feel like, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about the network.
Oh, yeah.
Can you give the guy another 30 seconds to explain what the hell you just said?
Right. People took this the wrong way.
This is part of the problem.
If you're a lay person sitting there on the couch, that's the way I would take it. That's exactly how I took it the first time I heard it.
I mean, it's said so fast and so quickly, and they move on from it so damn quickly that you got to maybe remember what the hell it is that you're talking about. I mean, so someone made a mistake, and they misinterpreted what he had said. And, I mean, it happens. Well, can you give he is a doctor, okay, in New York City, I believe. Can you give the guy another 30 seconds to explain what exactly that means? I mean, Hardy, you just took 5 minutes explaining it, which is great. I mean, people now probably have a better understanding of what it is he said. He didn't get the opportunity to do it. And whose fault is that?
Yeah,
it's not the guy who misinterpreted it.
Right.
Like, if you're going to throw around numbers about mortality rates and opening up schools, you should probably give it the proper attention, the proper time.
Right.
So I don't put it all on the people who misinterpreted it as, some sort of willful, dangerous thing that they're doing. Like, when you start throwing around mortality rates in kids, maybe you should take an extra minute and explain. That's all.
Yeah.
So that falls on him. That falls on Fox News. That's everybody there.
Yeah, and whether this is a retraction or not, or an apology, whatever, he did post something afterward because he saw this thing blowing up and people interpreting it to mean him saying that 2 to 3% of kids dying is an exception. No, that's not what he said. And he never said mortality rate. He said total mortality. And so this is what he said afterward.
I've realized my comments on risks around opening schools have confused and upset people, which was never my intention. I misspoke. As a heart surgeon, I spent my career fighting to save lives in the operating room by minimizing risks. At the same time, I'm being asked constantly, how will we be able to get people back to their normal lives? To do that, one of the important steps will be figuring out how do we get our children safely back to school. And I will continue looking for solutions to beat this virus.
Yeah, he doesn't explain it there either.
He should have went right to the, I made a comment about mortality. I want to explain what I meant by that. Yeah. He's like going right back to, hey, we got to get these kids back in school. But don't forget, I am a heart surgeon, and I do care about saving people.
Yeah, he could have said, when I said
he didn't really clarify.
2 to 3% in total mortality. We're talking about deaths across the entire country, and no death is a good death, and I'm not advocating for anyone. But and this is not going to this is probably not going to help anyone's thoughts on this either, Beetle. But if he were to say people are going to continue to die from coronavirus until there's a vaccine. And we are going to continue to have deaths in this country, even as after the we're well on the downside of the curve, and it's completely flat means there's still people getting infected. There's still people who are going to not do well after contracting the coronavirus and are not going to make it. At some point, you have to decide. All right, at what point is this? And acceptable is not the word that he or anyone else should use. But at what point does this no longer become a public health crisis and you treat it as many other diseases that are out there? And yes, there is a risk, but it is a small enough risk to where you say the closures are no longer an option, at least when it comes to schools or other activities that are deemed lower risk than other things. That's what, and that was one of the points he was making. Like, according to this study, having schools open is a lot less risky than some of these other activities we're talking about. How about 100,000 people getting together at a concert, for a big festival? Now that's a risk, but having schools open, not as risky. And then again, he didn't take either didn't take the time or wasn't given the time to explain it to that length.
All right, let's get to baseball as it relates to this reopening plan as well. Baseball players may soon be asked to take a pay cut. How much? We'll talk more about that story coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Guidelines released yesterday to governors across the country and to all of us. The Opening Up America Again guidelines were put out, and it's three phases, and I would say that it offers a path forward, but testing is my takeaway from yesterday. We need more testing. We need more testing for everything to happen to do it. But it involves everything: restaurants, even sports, even how we get back to doing everything is in the plan yesterday. And do you feel any closer to sports now that this plan is out there? Is my question.
I mean, I think every day we wake up, right? Maybe things are going to turn on the news.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
How important is the opinion of a former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is. It's not as important as you think.
Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Six one seven 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 nine zero ninety eight five. Baseball is going to ask their players most likely to take a pay cut. Governor Cuomo in New York revealed that he had recently talked to Fred Wilpon and the New York Mets, and how they mentioned this would be a part of their plan going forward if the gate was not allowed to be opened, which we all know is not going to happen. So if that's what's going on, they're going to go back to the players and say, "Yeah, you guys are going to be able to. You guys are going to have to take a pay cut to do this year." And I'm surprised that wasn't already an accepted sort of idea or fact. That was sort of newsworthy last night. And just the fact that it was a news story, I get it. You know, the governor of New York mentioned it and said he had spoken with a baseball owner about it. So I get that part of it. But the fact that anyone was surprised by that surprised me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And you just think that the baseball union, we talk about all the time, that's like the best damn union of all the professional sports. They're not going to put up with that, right? They're going to get all the money for their players. They're going to maximize everything. The second you start even talking about potentially shrinking down a season, or, you know, we're gonna quarantine you, whether in Arizona or Florida, and it's not going to be the same year, but we're at least gonna play. You guys got to take pay cuts. And I think that's fair, but I bet the Baseball Players Association would fight that. I bet they would. Of all four big sports, I bet that's the one that would fight it the most.
I think they will and they won't. I mean, I think you've got to remember, despite them being the strongest union in sports, they're not immune to the times. And they
need to know that we need to get this stuff back or they're going to be in trouble. Plus their sport, too. Wouldn't you worry about the sport? I mean,
I'll tell you what they're going to want to know, though. They're going to want to know the details of the agreements that baseball has with their TV deals. Are you guys still getting the full money from the TV deal?
Yeah, because you guys take a cut, too. Yeah.
You know? In sort of figuring out what the fair cut is, what the appropriate cut is to go to. And obviously, if the gate is closed and there's no fans and no concessions at the, you know, ballparks across the majors, then, yeah, there's going to be a lot of money lost along the way that I don't think should be all on the owners. I think, obviously, some of that can fall to the players as well. So I think they're probably going to want to have baseball open their books, which baseball might be resistant to, and that might be the hang-up. So that always gets the owners and the leagues mad when the players want to say, open up the books. Well, all right, you want us to take a pay cut? Show us that we should. And we'll see what happens on that front. But I was surprised that people were like, you know, oh, wow, they're going to ask to take pay. I thought this was sort of already agreed on.
Yeah, you think it'd be kind of assumed, right? Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I just wonder how much of a pay cut Mike Trout would have to take. What would Mike Trout make for the season? And is that going to weigh on his decision? Right?
Yeah. 617. Real quick, everybody you look across the country, you read stuff, and you see people are taking between, 10 and 30% pay cuts. You know, I'm not even talking about sports, just like regular jobs. People are just fortunate to say they have a job. And baseball's got to be aware of it, you know, especially with the image, you know, and the way the sport's talked about. We talk about they're the one that could lose the most by not getting back. They should want to get back and take the pay cut and get out there on the field. But I bet they fight it. I bet they do.
And ultimately, they may not be successful, but, you know,
right.
They can try it. They can try all they want. Baseball, I wonder what happens if they don't play at all. I would have to, you know, find out, but I'm sure there's something that they just don't get paid. Or there's got to be a way in which there's a mechanism there already built in.
I wonder if they're getting paid now, because, like, the season has already started.
They put that pool of money, that $170 million in that pool. Oh. So they're getting something right now. It's just a matter of that running out. I think that expires this coming month. I think in May that's up. So they have to go back to the union and have another conversation about it. But, pay cut on the table for baseball players.
Does that include their stimulus checks? Did they get their stimulus checks?
I don't believe that any of them qualify for a stimulus check. I don't believe they do, unfortunately.
You know, the stimulus check thing is interesting, too, just, you know, as a quick aside, because I know of somebody who got their stimulus check because they fall within the guidelines and got the money already. They've still been working. Like, hours haven't been cut. They're, you know, an essential employee. And I said,
what do you mean? I don't understand why you...
What?
Your stimulus check doesn't have anything to do with whether or not you're working.
Yeah, you don't have to be on unemployment. You just have to make under a certain amount.
Right, but it's kind of this, like, shotgun approach. It's like, everybody get more money. Well,
yeah, that's a stimulus. Here, have some more money. Try to stimulate the economy. Go spend it if you can. If you can't, pay your rent with it.
Spend it in the economy how? Wouldn't it make more sense to take some of that money that's going to people who are still working and, I don't know, maybe fund the small business coffers that apparently are now depleted?
Oh, those are gone. That money's gone already.
Right. So instead of sending out stimulus checks to people who are still working and don't need to be stimulated, why don't you go stimulate that small business
fund? Stimulate yourself.
How about you do both?
Stimulate the unemployment fund. You know?
Why can't you do both? I mean, with the amount of money that we're handing out, because you
literally just can't print as much money as you want. That, you know, there's a finite amount of it.
Oh, we're going to naturally get into a political discussion here that I don't want to have because it will take us all day if we do it.
Well, if you think
if you think the stimulus checks and that deal are what's costing the most money, you're crazy. If you think the stimulus checks are going to weigh down or that's the printing of the money.
No, I thought it was interesting that there are people getting stimulus checks that are not out any income right now.
Okay. I don't find that interesting at all because that was never what was proposed.
I'm so confused right now. You two going back. Do you see Ruth Chris took 20 or 30 million? Like, why are they getting such a kick out of this?
I guess because all their restaurants are closed and they want to be able to reopen them at some
point. Why should they get such a big chunk?
Because they're a big operation. There's Ruth's Chris all over the place.
I guess.
And it's a big company.
But yeah, Cheesecake Factory's facing, you know, like bad times just because they pay $60,000, $70,000 to rent their buildings out each and every month. Like, how do they not get more help? But Ruth Chris does. I don't get it. Don't get it.
You really like Cheesecake Factory. I
love Cheesecake Factory. Tell me last time you had a bad meal at Cheesecake Factory.
Do you always get the same thing?
I kind of do. Mile High Meatloaf. Or there's this, it's a ranch corn salad. It's like ranch corn bacon. It's like a cob. Really good.
Yeah, you see, for a menu that is vast as Cheesecake Factory,
it's huge.
More people get the same thing every time at Cheesecake Factory. It's like you give me that many options. Like, I'm not even going to look. I know what I like here. It's that.
They tell me what they've screwed up. Nothing.
I don't know. I always get the same thing. I always get the same thing, so I don't know.
Good salads. Real good salads.
Factory burrito. Factory burrito grande. Thank you.
You go to Cheesecake to get a factory burrito.
It works. You just said they don't screw anything up.
I'll tell you what, you know what they have?
They don't screw up burritos either.
They have great fish and chips. Huge piece of fish.
You know what's really good at Cheesecake Factory?
I go fish and chips today.
Cheesecakes. Oh, do they have good cheesecake there?
Everybody likes it. You always eat too much, and then you never get the damn cheesecake.
Oh, that's why you got to take it home.
Yeah, Capella would get it. Fat ass. We did that 617, one trip. I think it was Houston. Go ahead, Beetle. Just talk.
We got open phone lines. Grab one if you would like to. Here's Hardy with headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Wake up, lip readers.
Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Hey!
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Put up the world, pave the parking lot. La la la.
617-779-0985. Open phone lines. You want to grab one now. Zoe, you might as well tell your Cheesecake Factory story. All our calls dropped off.
Yeah, what the hell? What's a Cheesecake Factory? Oh, yeah, we were in Houston. So we're staying across from the Galleria. It's a big mall. We're down there playing the Texans. Of course, always go out to eat. With some of the radio crew, it's a mix of guys, but it's always Capello. And if you've ever eaten and sat down and ate and have eaten with Capello, like there's no talking, like the food comes and it's like it's a man in the wilderness and he's stabbing the meat, he's cutting it, he's eating it, and he never lifts his head up, and he just plows right through the dish, and it's this massive salad. And then he had this huge thing, and I'm like looking at my watch. We waited like 45 minutes to even get in. Sit down, and I'm like, you freaking order cheesecake. I swear to God, I'm leaving. And he thought about it. He didn't order it. But I don't know how people go there and eat the portions that that place puts out, and it still has cheesecake. Hardy, do you go there and eat and then have cheesecake?
No. Take the cheesecake home.
I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at people. And everybody around eating a big piece of cheesecake. It's not like they order one because the pieces are huge, shareable between five people. No, four people in a family, four, right next to me. Ordered a whole meal, ate the meal, and then they all had cheesecake. Disgusting.
I've never seen it. We've never done it. I can't imagine having enough room left over in your stomach to eat cheesecake at the end of a Cheesecake Factory meal.
But so
when you're there, you know why we do it? And I don't think we ever did it before we had kids. The kids, you know, they want cheesecake. They want cheesecake. And even they can't fit any more food in their stomachs. So we order, like, one cheesecake, take it home, and they end up sharing it later. That's nice. What happens.
You ever get the ranch dressing there?
Yeah, sure.
They sell it in mason jars.
I've never bought ranch dressing from the Cheesecake Factory.
Oh, it's delicious. There's no other ranch like it. Yeah. So good cheesecake talk. Did Trump mention cheesecake when he was talking to all those restaurants? Subway? Hardy, you should do one with the big chains, like Cheesecake, Ruth Chris, Davio's.
Garden restaurants, McDonald's, Coca-Cola, PepsiCo, Chick-fil-A, Subway, Wolfgang Pup, Bloomin' Brands, Yum Brands, Thomas Keller, Papa John's, Wendy's, Waffle House, and John George. And Danielle.
Well, now you've named them, but we still don't know them.
You know them.
No, we don't. No, we don't.
Jean George, my friend Jean George.
No, we've never heard of Jean George, no.
And Danielle.
No,
you know them.
Yeah. We've never heard of your friend Jean George and Danielle.
Wolfgang Pup.
Pup.
And Danielle is Daniel? It's some guy named Daniel? Some chef?
Who knows?
It's Danielle. I don't know why he chose to call him Danielle, but I believe it is Daniel. Is that, that's who he was referring
his
to.
His last name started with a B. I forget what it was.
Yeah, I forget, too.
Yeah, it was Daniel, his friend, or maybe not his friend. I don't know. And Danielle.
Oh, you know him, man.
I definitely don't, and I'm sure foodies might know them, but I don't think most people would. The people that are really into the restaurants would probably know. Nope, I don't know who Danielle is. Nice video yesterday, by the way, Hardy.
Thank you.
Good work. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. We started off the day talking about the NFL possibly being hacked in the draft, which is coming up next week, and has the, according to cybersecurity experts, has the chance to be infiltrated by hackers, whether it be someone who's trying to change picks or gain access to information. NFL teams have gotten far more digital, shall we say. They've gotten far more digital. If you got thoughts on that, and if there's something you want to see get hacked into during that draft,
I'd like to talk to a hacker. I want to know how you get into these things.
Well, the stories sort of cover it. I mean, in terms of like them fishing for information, they don't get into too high-tech details. I mean, what the hell would you understand if a hacker was to tell you how they do it? So,
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I don't know. Do you think like any of our wackies downstairs, like Charlie and Dan, Dennis,
no.
Josh, think any of those guys could hack into anything?
Nope. I don't. Nope.
Just fix it.
Yeah. Nope. I don't think that's true at all. But we also have this date in show history, and we're going to get to that. I was told that there's some sort of milestone date today.
Ooh.
There's and a great one from last year, too.
All right, so some great stuff from this date in show history. We'll do it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your workday on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, time for this date in show history, April 17th. Jim promises it to be a good one.
Jim says it's a good one.
What do we got?
All right, I am pulling up the rundown here. Now, T-Bone is, I guess, the one tasked with putting these all together. So he goes back and he finds dates from this date in show history. Now, first thing, T-Bone, before we start, were there dates where they... We didn't have shows because of Saturdays, Sundays, holidays. I mean, how many years did you have to choose from when you're doing
I think
those?
We had 2 years that we didn't have shows. So
okay.
What would that be, 3 or 4?
Okay. All right.
But last year we did.
All right. So we will begin, as soon as I can pull this up here. working backwards on this day in show history, we start with last year, as Tom just said. Ken and Lowell called in.
Oh yeah,
he talked
was
about
this Ocala.
He talked about watching the Celtics and Bruins playoff games, if you'll remember, at the same time. So on this date last year, both the Bruins and Celtics playoff games going at the same time. Is
right.
That right? Wow. On April 17th of last year. All right, two playoff games. Here's what he said.
I ain't watching. I'm flipping the radio station back and forth because I'm going to be listening to the Celtics during the first intermission. I'm flipping it over to the Celtics.
Now, that's the bleeped version because...
He said he was flipping.
But...
Yeah.
Listen to the unedited...
Flicking.
Listen to the unedited version and tell me if you think this was okay to go over the air.
I ain't watching. I'm flicking the radio station back and forth because I'm going to be listening to the Celtics. During the first intermission, I'm flicking it over to the Celtics.
The second one should have been bleeped. The first one, it's flicking. Second one rolled off the tongue.
You're confident.
Do play it again. Play it again.
They're both flicking.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
They're both flicking, but just listen to the unedited version again.
I ain't watching. I'm flicking the radio station back and forth because I'm going to be listening to the Celtics during the first intermission. I'm flicking it over to the Celtics.
Second one.
Yeah, I'm just flicking.
Okay.
Says flicking. Come on, guys.
Of course he does.
So we're going to miss out on Marathon Monday this year, which, you know, we normally have big broadcast and, you know, there's a lot going on and
people are hammered.
I can't imagine that I would have had trouble with any of the names of the runners on a Marathon Monday when, you know, I have to give the race results. But apparently in 2017, there was an issue with a name or two.
And your marathon update, American Des Linden currently leading the women's race. Mutai Manu. He's not local. He's leading the men.
You sure he's not local? I bet he's from Kenya.
Well, I could tell from the flag next to his name. It wasn't a guess.
What year was this? 2017?
Like you don't remember when Mutai Manu was leading. Of course it was 2017. Who could
Manu,
forget?
Manu. Whatever he is. Mutai Manu. He's not local.
Sounds like a good drink.
PC moment.
Where were we?
Where was that broadcast?
Probably the cask.
Wherever. There was zero social distancing going on back then.
Oh, my God.
Can you hear that crowd?
Yeah, I can. That's why I asked. That's what reminded me.
Yeah, we weren't at the finish line. We were in a bar.
Yeah, we're always at a bar. We were either down Lansdowne or we were at the cask. And
well,
I remember
that's why
one
Hardy
time,
couldn't see who it was that well from his vantage point.
Actually, Tom points out, Hardy was alone on location. You guys were at the Garden Studios because of playoffs.
Really?
Yeah, there was that one year where
I don't remember that split.
And what, Hardy was alone at a bar by himself?
Yeah. Yep.
Huh. What the hell was the point of that?
I don't remember the one year that girl was peeing outside the cask. She just like leaned against the wall in a sitting position like, hey, Beetle.
Oh, my God. Do you remember that?
Happy marathon day. Look outside.
I remember the girl, just her friend got the pizza. Do you remember that?
Oh, and she tried to come in. That's right, that side door.
They were burning her mouth.
They
were a total mess. Yeah, no, the girl.
Didn't she pee like right?
She peed right up against the windows. She was like squatting up against the door.
She pulled her pants down.
I thought I remembered her peeing up against the wall. The sign that marked the David Ortiz Bridge. You know, she just peed on that signpost like a cocker spaniel.
No, she was in front of the cask when it happened.
Oh, okay.
So she was right near that. She was on that side of the street, so it was right there before the bridge. But that's where it all went down.
Good times.
Good pizza. Oh, my God, the pizza.
How good did that pizza look, though?
They got thrown out. The girl peed on the sidewalk, and then her friend managed to sneak back in to be able to order a pizza to go.
Right.
Did they order to go, or did they bring it? I thought they brought it.
No, remember they got it in the box.
They ordered a pizza.
They ordered it to go.
The bouncer's like, you can't bring pizza in here. Like that, you have to order. I think they ordered food outside and had it delivered.
No, it was absolutely from there. Yeah, because that was her rationale for being allowed to stay. She was like, I ordered food. And he's like, I don't care. And she's like, I ordered food here. And then it was a pizza to go that they gave her. Yes.
Nice.
Or they just gave her the pizza to get her to leave. Here,
the classy lady. She's so classy.
Go and pee on someone else's sidewalk. Leave the area.
Oh, man.
We beg you. All right. Going now to 2015, so 5 years ago, caller to the show claimed to have invented a nickname for somebody on the show. Was it Beetle? Was it Hardy? Or was it Zoe?
This is when he was known as Scott. Anyways, I named him Zoe. But anyways,
so prior to 2008, I was never Zoe.
No, he was Zoe to me because he's coming across a lot, and he's heading into someplace. We're in Rodman parking lot, and I saw him. I goes, oh, no, look at this. I says, hey, Zoe. And don't forget, Brady was certain there was some quarterback controversy in Mallet and all this stuff. I says, hey, Zoe, are you pitching today? Well, without breaking stride, which I want that set, so he was booking. He turned around and looked at me. He gave a smile that would lit up the whole stadium and said, well, I'm ready if they need me. And he just galloped off into the sunset, and everybody come running over. Well, who was that? I goes, well, that's Scott Zolak? I goes, no, that's so.
What a story that guy tells.
So 5 years ago, I got my nickname, right?
No, he said it was 2008.
Oh, no, that's right. He dated it.
Yeah,
right.
2008. That's right. He gave me that nickname.
Damn.
Zoe. Didn't Parcells make reference to you as the Zoe?
Yes.
So how long has someone called you some version of Zoe?
Middle school.
Okay.
Z-Man.
Okay.
It's either Z-Man.
So there's a discrepancy in the timeline. It was either 2008 or 1982. I mean, it was somewhere one of those years.
Sure.
Okay. All right. Finally.
And there he goes. The
rides
Zoe.
Off into the sunset. Rides
riding
the
galloping
sunset.
Off into the sunset.
It's a good story.
Yeah, were you horseback that day?
No, I think I was running over to the Fred Smarless tent for a pregame party.
Okay.
Yeah.
Apparently on this date in 2015, a signature Zolak and Bertrand segment was born.
Oh.
You ready for the next segment, Hardy?
I am. I'm very excited and thankful for Jim Lau coming up with a great name for this.
Read and react.
Read and react.
TikTok. So to explain it before we get into it, Hardy reads the story, we react to the story, and it's all NFL stuff.
That's right.
Noontime on Fridays.
Read and react. Why don't you just call processing?
So okay, the first read and react we did was in April?
Yeah, it must have been for the draft.
Really?
Wow.
Oh, that's probably because Jim had like 18 draft tidbits on his little notepad. Hey, guys, we could do a read and react here. We'll call it read and react.
Okay, so obviously we were doing football draft. For the first ever item on read and react on this date in 2015. What was the first item we did on the very first read and react? Here it is.
All right, what do we got?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Oh, yeah.
Adrian Peterson reinstated by the NFL. This just happened yesterday.
So, Star Wars?
Commissioner Roger Goodell said this in a letter. From my perspective, the most important.
And then you did Roger Goodell?
I guess.
You read it as Roger Goodell?
I don't know.
Item. It was already off the rails. Good segment.
Well,
people
that
love
sucker
it.
Stuck.
One of our most popular, as we found out just last week.
Yep.
Read and react. So, and how is it that Sunday?
So, 5 years ago, April 17th was also a Friday. That's what leap year does to you. Because what does the day of the week normally do from year to year without a leap year? Does it move ahead one?
Yeah.
But that was only 5 years ago, and it was the same day of the week.
What do babies do when they're born on that day? So you're born a leap year baby.
On April.
You know what I mean? What's the date you celebrate your birthday?
I guess either on the 28th or March 1st.
Always round up, right?
I don't know. Is that the rule?
That's what I think, yeah. I'd go to the
1st. Why don't you research that during
the headline? Seriously, if you're a leap year baby, wouldn't you rather be known to be born in the month of February instead of March? Because February changes, not March.
Leap babies, according to timeanddate.com, celebrate their birthdays either February 28th or March 1st.
Oh.
So it's up to them.
Yeah. It's a good segment.
Anything
that's
else?
Stick.
Just wondering. Anything else, though?
What else? We got any more dates?
Nope. I don't think so.
We're all done. All done.
See, I thought it was going to be the Ken and Ocala thing where he was fixing the sinkholes and since we're heading to the Kentucky Derby normally about this time of year, he would give horse updates. So I would have put my money on that with Ken and not what he did.
That was one of his earlier calls. I mean, what was the first ever Ken and Lowell call? Was it naked? Was it naked 2 and 4?
Walking around to and fro, grown men naked.
Yeah.
That one.
Isn't that kind of weird? Yeah, I think he may have called in before that, but that's the first one I can remember.
First memorable call he had was that one.
Yes.
Isn't that kind of weird? That was on the Drake, what's his name? Oh, what the hell was that guy's name? Why am I blanking on the name? The White Sox player.
It was Adam LaRoche's son.
The kid. Drake
LaRoche. Chrisell. Adam LaRoche and his son Drake.
Yes.
That's what that was about. He thought it was weird that Drake was in there with grown men naked.
Walking around naked, to and for the showers. And isn't that kind of weird?
It's a hell of a question. There's nothing worse than being a kid and be drugged into one of those like YMCA locker rooms with your old man. It's as he's standing there in his flip flops, naked, waiting to get a shower.
All right, then. We got headlines. We're right back. We've got a story from The Ringer that blows my mind. It does. I'll tell you about it. It's about quarterbacks in the NFL. We'll get to it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.